Hi, welcome to the Brick Filmers Guild podcast, hosted by us, the Four Monkeys. On this podcast, we had the extreme pleasure of chatting with Adam Nyes. He's an independent filmmaker and animator based in Atlanta, Georgia, which also happens to be our home, too. His YouTube channel is called Ant Bandit. Lando Steel and Lego Injustice 2 are two of his most popular and critically acclaimed brick films. Most recently, he has created brick films commissioned by the Lego Group. This podcast is sponsored by Brickstuff. Brickstuff makes the smallest commercially available lights for Lego models, and their wires are the thinnest available. You can snap Lego bricks, plates, and tiles directly on top of the lights and wires. You can hide them in anything you build, and there's no electronics experience needed. Check out Brickstuff Lights at www.brickstuff.com and see how to take your builds and brick films to the next level. This podcast is also sponsored by Bricker. Bricker is an add-on for the free software Blender that converts any 3D object into a photorealistic, buildable Lego sculpture. You can also use Bricker to generate awesome Lego animations such as rivers, explosions, motion graphics, and more. We were amazed with the stunning brick animations and renders that we made utilizing Bricker and the other Blender plugins by Bricks brought to life. His other must-have add-ons are ABS plastic Lego materials, which makes the Blender models look like real Lego bricks, and AssembleMe, which is Lego animation made easy. Learn more at bricksbroughttolife.com. If you would like to help support our podcast, you can do so by becoming a Patreon supporter. Get podcasts at least a week before anyone else, and other perks only available to our Patreon supporters. So, without further ado, here's our conversation with Adam. Well, good morning, Adam. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm going to apologize in advance for my weird voice. I'm getting over a cold. Shocker, right? Usually I have whenever I have to do lines, whatever you call it.
The curse.
The curse. It doesn't usually happen on the podcast. I think just once or twice before. But yeah, in case I have to take some coughing breaks or blow my nose breaks, but through the magic of editing, you guys will never know, other than the fact that I sound weird.
Completely fine.
So even though this is our first podcast with you, we actually had the pleasure of meeting you in person a month or two ago.
Yeah,
and that was about a month ago. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. So it was great meeting you before. I'm hoping we can meet up again sometime soon.
Definitely. We really had a great time. Yeah, it would have been great if we could have recorded that whole thing. I mean, it was just more for fun and just, you know, but it would have been a really would have been a great on the road podcast, which, you know, we've never even thought of doing. I think we're too unorganized for that.
Oh, you're fine.
So let's see. You want to get started? I know you. We kind of jump around as far as where your work goes and when you created it. We had a lot of fun yesterday watching all of your videos and your behind the scenes and your Instagram. You do a great job on Instagram of sharing a lot of really cool information and videos.
Yeah.
So
I try to keep up with it, but it's hard to these days. I try to remind myself, you know, at least for every project I do, I'm trying to, you know, post some pictures and some behind the scenes stuff. So it's good that it's working.
Yeah, it's totally working. I
try to keep up with it.
A lot of fun to watch. Definitely a lot better than ours.
Have you considered using Twitter at all ever?
I have, and I have a Twitter, but the only thing that I use it for is, you know, I actually never get on it. I've never been into Twitter. I'm building really just use Instagram and Facebook. But okay. If I ever wanted to go to the next level, I'm sure I need to get a Twitter and start posting regular there. I've never been drawn to it.
I think Instagram is the way to go anyway, because you can share. It's just you can, you know, take your phone. See, the reason we don't use it is because we do everything from our computer, and Instagram is not really computer friendly.
Yeah, it's just Instagram's so much more visual to me, you know, it's and when you're working with behind the scenes and photos, it's just so much easier to you know, tell a story visually with videos and pictures, stuff like that. So I think that's what I like most about Instagram.
Cool. And I'm going to get totally off topic here, just since we're on Instagram. I really loved seeing the videos and the pictures of your cat. Was it Nook?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, her name's Nook.
She's beautiful, and she looks so much like our Boots, except our Boots doesn't have a tail. But other than that, they look very similar, and she I just love cats. So yeah. I enjoyed those very much. And I was shocked when you were waving that kind of cat toy in her face. She just kind of was like, nah, I'm not in the mood. I'll, you know, maybe get back with you later. And our cats would have been going nuts over that thing.
Yeah, Nook's a great cat. She's a little bit weird, though. She's got different strange habits and not very cat-like instincts sometimes. So, but we love her very much.
And we did see one of the behind the scenes. She was in one of those shots helping you with one of the scenes. I noticed that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny. All right.
So what got you into making films, be it brick films or just regular live-action films? What got you into that?
Oh, wow. Well, I was making videos back when I was a teenager, and just fun videos with my friends and, you know, live-action, just little sketches and skits. And I never thought that it was something that I would want to do or would consider for a career or do, you know, make anything out of. But I got to college as a communications major and realized that I kind of had a passion for cameras and digital media, and I started taking classes and kind of getting wrapped up in the film world there. And yeah, that's kind of where my passion for, you know, film and videos started. I had always enjoyed brick films, though. I had always been kind of lurking on some of the different forums, the old forums back in the day. And never made anything. I was never, you know, I was never making any brick films. But in college, when I had started taking these classes and getting into film, I realized, you know, I'm going to make a brick film. You know, this sounds like a lot of fun. So I bought Dragon Frame, and it was pretty funny. I had a friend who, the whole point was I was going to make one to submit to the local film festival for the university. And I was kind of using that as an inspiration to get me to make it. And I had a friend who told me, don't waste your time with brick films. I love the guy, but he was telling me, it'll take too long and, you know, no one's going to watch it. And I was like, okay, challenge accepted. And so I made that brick film, and I ended up winning the film festival with it. And I proved that friend wrong, but, you know, okay. He was really proud of me and congratulated me, but that was my first brick film called The Painter, and it's on my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. But I had a lot of fun making it, and I was just, as someone who had always grown up watching brick films, it was fun to finally just make one. And that was my first time making one. And after that, I kind of put it on the back burner for a while, but I was always had it in the back of my mind, yeah, I want to make some more of these. And then eventually I made a few more, and here I am.
Cool. Well, let's talk about The Painter then.
Yeah, we always watch the videos from like the oldest to the newest, and really hard to believe that was your very first brick film, because it was fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's still one of my favorites. I really had a great time making it.
One of my favorites too. In fact, it almost made me cry, which is really saying something considering there was no dialogue. You know, when a brick film or any film, when you enjoy it that much and there is no dialogue, that just tells you how brilliant it is.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
There's so much to love about that. I don't want to give it away because I really want people to see it. So I can't give away all the things that I loved, but I mean, it was funny and it was entertaining. And like I said, it there was emotion, so it almost made me cry. But I was happy with the ending.
Yeah, I had been watching, I remember, like, before that, I had been watching all the Pixar shorts. So it really was inspired by, you know, those Pixar shorts. I wanted it to be funny, quick, you know, very simple concepts, but still had some kind of, you know, just joke at the end. But yeah, I'd been watching all those different Pixar shorts and wanted to kind of make one out of Lego. But yeah, I had never made one before that. That was my first, and I learned a lot through making it. But I made it in my dorm at college, I think over the course of like 2 weekends, something like that. And yeah, that was the painter.
Yeah, I loved it so much.
And you entered that into the Lee University Film Festival, is that correct?
Yes, yep. I entered it. I remember it won a few different awards. It won Best Short. It won, I sound like I'm tooting my own horn right now, but it won Best Short, Best Directing, and I think Best Editing. I'm not sure. But yeah, I was really surprised because I guess there was no other animators. It was, you know, it's a small college film festival, so it wasn't anything. There wasn't a whole lot of submissions, but there was not any other animations, and it was the only Lego film, so it stood out a bit from the pack.
Yeah, that was cool and so deserving. So I'm really happy to hear that.
And it was. Did you also have that entered in the Chicago? I mean, Chattanooga Film Festival.
I did, yeah. So it had won that Lee Film Festival, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I should submit it to some other places and see how it does. And the Chattanooga Film Festival was happening, and I submitted it there just for fun, and it got accepted and got screened in their animation block.
And what was the gist of that? Did you win anything with that, or was it just a showed at the festival?
Yeah, it was just screened at the festival. It was my first. That was my first film festival I had ever been a part of. So I remember being really excited about it. And I went and saw all the different screenings and all the different blocks. And I still have my Chattanooga Film Festival poster from that. So it was a lot of fun experience. It was a lot of fun because, you know, I was interested in. You know, I'm still interested in directing and writing live action films. And so to have that animated, you know, the short in the screening block allowed me to see everything. So it was really cool to be a part of it and have it screened. And, you know, it was got to see it screened on the big screen and everything. So it was a lot of fun.
So, and that was your first time watching something like that on the big screen in front of an audience, getting their reaction and.
Yep. Apart from the Lee Film Festival, but yeah, it was really cool to get it outside of the Lee community and have it screened and on. You know, it was in a theater and everything, so it was a really cool experience.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
We got to do that one time, and it is almost excuse me, a surreal experience seeing that. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a note about the Animate and an International Animation Film Fest.
Yeah. I'm remember, so after the Chattanooga, or right after the Lee Film Festival, I had submitted it to the Chattanooga Film Festival, but there were several others that I was like, well, let me just spend some money and kind of shoot it out into the world and see what sticks. We'll see if it gets picked up anywhere else. And I think that was one that I had submitted it to. I'm not sure if it won anything. You might be able to tell me. I think it was screened, but I can't remember if it was, like, awarded anything. I'm not sure.
I think the only notes I might have seen would have been for the Lee University Film Festival, but who knows, you might have won something for those. But it's definitely cool to get your film screened in some different festivals. I think ours, we had one in a Machinima one back in, I think, 2012 or so.
Right.
We couldn't go to L.A. for it. It was a weird interactive festival, but it is definitely cool to have your film shown.
Yeah, it's a really good experience.
It's a bit different than YouTube. You know, you post something and you read comments, and it's great. But to have it there and it's physical, and you can, you know, you can hear the audience laughing or, you know, just reacting to what you made. It's a totally different experience. So I enjoy it.
And the only thing I'll say, because obviously since it's called The Painter, you figure painting's involved, and I always love that effect of the painting using the colored bricks. It's one of my favorite effects. I think that and water are my two favorite things that I love to see in a brick film. It's just really, you know, obviously you people just need to watch The Painter. It's so worth it. I loved it so much, and it was a great, great experience. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that effect that you mentioned, the painting effect, I think I stole that from someone, so I can't take credit for it. But you know, I'd before The Painter, I had watched so many different brick films, and you know, I was inspired by, you know, people like Kevin Ulrich, and I had watched so many behind the scenes and tutorials that I'd probably just taken that from somebody, but I'm glad that it looked really good and that, you know, it worked for the shot there. So
yeah. What frame rate were you using for that one?
That, since it was my first, I was like, I don't want to stress myself, so I'm going to shoot at 15 frames and just keep it simple.
Okay. And while we go move on to LIGO University, it looks like that might be your second brick film you made. You made this, I guess, for the Lee University Media Services. Is that
correct? Yeah. So after I graduated from Lee back in 2015, I started working for the Media Services Department, and it was a great team. We did kind of video on campus and promotional, commercial material, that kind of thing, all their social media content. And every year they do a Christmas video. And so that year I convinced my boss, Jeff, to let me make it a Lego version. And, you know, I hadn't done anything since Painter. And I was like, I really want to do another Lego thing. And the president there is kind of like a mini celebrity in the small town of Cleveland. And so I wanted to do something with him that was fun and, you know, would do well online. So, he let me make a whole Lego short for the Christmas video. So it took me a couple months. I think it was like, well, it was more like, I think I spent the whole of November doing it. And it was cool to kind of be able to work on that as for that month. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looked like it was a lot of fun. And I love mixing, you know, real people with Lego. I mean, I love the way that interacts with each other. It's really cool.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That looked like to be the first time you did a voice acting into your Lego videos. Was that a different, neat experience to actually work with the actors?
Yeah, and all the actors were people on campus. So the different, it was like the campus pastor and the president himself and some other characters. But it was a lot of fun. I had written the script and they all came in at the media services offices. We had a recording booth, and so they would all come in and record their lines there, and so they weren't actors by any means. Okay. but they did fine. It was that whole short was I used as kind of like, all right, you know, this is I've done the Painter, I think I can step it up. We're gonna do voices, we're gonna do a higher frame rate, it's gonna be, you know, some bigger sets, and so it served as a good stepping stone project for, you know, getting better at all of the filmmaking and animating as a whole. So it was good.
And did you bump up to 24 frames for that one?
I did. Yeah. That was 24 frames. And
that all, is that all you do now these days or?
It is. Yeah. I am tempted to go back. I watch a lot of videos where, you know, a lot of people's work is really good and it's at 15. I'm like, man, do I really need to do 24? and it takes a lot of time to do 24, but at this point it's what I'm used to and it looks really smooth. So I think I'll be sticking with it for now.
And do you ever do those on 12 on the twos?
I've thought about it, but I haven't yet. I've only done the ones. So okay.
I haven't either. I've either done 24 or just straight 15, and I prefer 15, but 24 is definitely beautiful looking if you pull it off nicely.
And yeah. You do, so, I mean, it's working for you.
Have you guys seen Into the Spider-Verse?
I watched it yesterday morning, and I really enjoyed it. It was good. It was I enjoyed it about as much as I thought I would because it got really good reviews. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went into it thinking it was going to be good.
There's some really interesting animation techniques in that where they switch between ones and twos for different scenes, and like all their action stuff is on ones and certain other scenes are on twos, or all their characters are on twos. And they switch between it. And I was watching the behind the scenes on that. So I watched that and I said, wow, this is really interesting, you know, and I like the effect. I think on ones sometimes at 24 frames, your characters, it starts to look sometimes too smooth, so it sometimes loses that stop motion kind of homemade feel that makes brick films really good. So I don't know, I watched that at the Spider-Verse behind the scenes. I said maybe I need to try that in my brick film at some point.
I didn't watch it just because I'm not into any kind of anything that has a lot of those flashy things. They don't bother me. I really just don't like seeing it. And even like brick films, if I see somebody that has like flat, I can't watch it. It just bothers me.
Mm.
Yeah, but it was a good movie. But yeah, it was a little flashy, especially near the end when the climax was happening.
Oh yeah, there are a few moments where it's all the colors are going and it's all, you know, it's flashing. And it's like, oh wow, you know, it's a lot to take in.
We want to move up
to Lego Porsche.
This is something that you created for the Lego Speed Champions Dream Race competition. It's a competition we also entered as well. Yours was a better video.
Better? It blew ours away.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a fun one. I had never done any of the rebrick contests, and I don't know how I found it, but I think I had seen some kind of article or something like that, or post about it, and yeah, I was like, I can't remember, when did I make that? I'm sure it was a couple years ago.
I'm guessing it was 15 or 16.
Yes, I'm on my YouTube channel. This is 3 years ago. Yeah, that was another one. I had made that after Lego, and I saw it. I was like, I could probably do this at home very quickly, and you know, just as animation practice. And I wasn't trying to win by any means, but it just, I wanted to, you know, keep making things and keep my animation skills kind of fresh. So that project, I didn't win, of course, but I did meet Galen Johnson through that project, and he and I have since then become good working partners, and so that project was how I ended up meeting him. It was a lot of fun. I had no idea what I was doing with visual effects for that one, so I look back and I cringe on the flying scenes, but I'm a strong believer in, you know, everyone has their own skills and strengths, and visual effects has never been one of mine. And I had reached out to Galen. I had seen him enter already, and I was like, you know, I'm really struggling with this. You know, we don't know each other, but would you mind giving me some tips on, you know, green screening and chroma, you know, all these After Effects things that I had no idea. And he was kind enough to send me this really long email and just was very helpful about, you know, this is what you should do, this is how you should shoot it, you know, and I took that and it helped me improve it a little bit, but still, you know, doing it on my own, I there was only so much that I could do. So, but after that, I was like, you know what, next project I do, I'm not going to do the visual effects. I'm going to hire somebody else to do it. And he was the first one I went to.
Yeah. I think I noticed him either on that contest or one of the other, rebrick contest, something about an alien or I don't remember, but his work has just always just really been a top notch, just some incredible, special effects. It blows you away. I think
he's so talented. He's very good at what he does.
I think that's, Galen 5055 is his YouTube, I believe.
Yes. Yep. That's it.
Cool.
Is he a member?
Yes, he is a member. I reached out to him once I saw his work. It's like, hey, please join. We'd like to follow your work.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Then you looks like you made a little fun project next. It was the Making Bacon Pancakes remix in Lego.
Yeah.
That looked like just a fun little side project. What inspired you to make that?
There had been some time since I had done any animation, and you know, throughout that whole year I was working at Lee and I was making other short films and working on different sets, and I was like, man, I really just want to make something short and sweet. And I had that meme was really popular, and I was like, you know, I can make something in, you know, a couple days and just itch that or scratch that animation itch. And so I took a weekend and I threw that together. I remember seeing that meme all over, you know, my different social media, and I was like, man, this would be fun. It was really popular. This would be really fun to do like a Lego version of, and I did it. So yeah.
Yeah, fun is the perfect way to describe that. Definitely a fun video.
Thank you. Yeah, it was just one of those again, you know, short projects to, you know, scratch that itch. And during that time, I was just animation for me was mostly, you know, a hobby. It was just, I'm going to, you know, do it when I can. And I wasn't going to plan on doing any large projects. So I was like, let me do something short and short and sweet.
Cool. And then you made another short and sweet one. The Star Wars Battlefront doesn't make sense. And this is probably more of a joke on the Star Wars Battlefront. I'm assuming that's the one for the PlayStation. No, was that the PlayStation 2 or 4?
That one was on PS4. That was the remake, of Battlefront. Yeah.
The game looks better. It just doesn't play better. I like the one from the PlayStation 2. But it's a cute video. Definitely worth a minute or two of the watch there.
Thank you.
And then you decided to truly step it up on your animation and just what you were doing. And you made Lego Injustice 2.
Yes.
Beautiful,
yes.
Beautiful film.
Yeah, that's where we're like, okay, this is where it all steps up from here.
Yeah. Everything started coming together for you. What inspired you to make that one?
That one, with all of these different shorts, I'm trying to kind of practice a different thing. You know, I'll kind of like look at usually one or two areas that I really want to like learn and try to just focus on making that, you know, as good as possible. And for that one, I just really wanted to make a fight scene or animate a fight scene. And I actually don't play Injustice, and I hadn't really played it that much until, you know, I had made that video. I went over and played it with a friend, and I watched a bunch of videos. But I thought, you know, hey, a superhero fight scene would be pretty fun, and I can do some crazy martial arts and stuff like that. So, it kind of came from me wanting to do a fight scene.
Cool. And the voice acting for that, how did you do the voice acting for that?
The voice actors in that are a couple of friends of mine, and it's my wife plays the Black Canary, and one of my best friends at the time, Orlando, plays Blue Beetle. And we had that recording booth at Lee, and so I would bring him in, and we did all the lines, and it was good that I everything that I was doing, you know, and for my job around that time was really helping me to make these, you know, these really well. And I had access to the studio and the recording booth, so I would go and use that during when it wasn't being used. They did really well. It was, and then my buddy Beecher at the very end did that little stinger, conflict resolution, and that's the very end. But
so you got to record the audio in a real studio.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's nice. It's in a little voiceover recording booth at the university. So
nice.
And nice to have your own female voice actor, right?
Yeah. That was her first time doing anything. She did really well. That was her first time voice acting, and so she we had fun with it, and I was able to kind of direct her while we were recording, and it was a lot of fun.
A few things I did notice: you also stepped up a lot of your brick build effects. A lot of cool digital effects were put into this video, and definitely the lighting was definitely stepped up and beautiful. So,
thank you.
Really like that one. And then let's move on to what basically you're mostly known for, at least right now at the moment, beyond your a couple of commission videos. But it's Lando's Dill, the one I brain farted on remembering Lando Calrissian's name the other day. Don't know if you heard that. I don't remember which one that was. I think it was Christopher's, but podcast. But Lando's Dill, it honestly is probably one of my favorite Star Wars brick films.
Thank you.
All the way top to bottom. I mean, let's start off with the voice acting of Lando.
Yeah, I loved
awesome.
His voice.
Oh, my goodness. the voice actor who plays Lando in that short is incredible. And I've worked with him since we made that. But I stumbled across him on YouTube. His name's Anthony Sevens. And he is a passionate fan who does a lot of, like, Star Wars impressions and, you know, different characters. And I was listening to all of the stuff, and he did Lando, and the Lando impression was so good. And I was like, man, I really want to make a Lando short. And, like, you know, because I know who this guy is, and I reached out to him, and he was all about it. And he did so well. That honestly was what makes the short for me, is just watching him back and hearing his voice. It sounds like Billy Dee Williams.
Absolutely, yeah. He's definitely somebody I'm probably going to have to contact at some point. He was amazing.
Please do, yeah.
One of the interesting things, you have a really good behind-the-scenes for Lando's deal. A lot of the shots, the space-type shots of the space vehicles, were done, what, live-action, not stop-motion? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, it was a mixture. Again, this was Galen Johnson who did all the visual effects. And so we were trying to figure out a way to, shoot this ship that was Lando's ship. And so what I ended up landing on was building there's like a landing platform where his ship comes in and lands. I built kind of like a marionette system with fishing wire and these two planks of wood. And for the shot of it landing, I basically just puppeteered it flying in and landing, and it's an actual physical shot of it just kind of on wires. And and then for all the other stuff, we simply held it in front of a green screen and kind of puppeteered the different moves left and right, and kind of was able to get those different rotations and yaw of the ship. For the Falcon as well, the Falcon's in that as well. And so I had wired it with fishing wire going through the insides, and then I made sure it was very secure, and then was able to kind of puppeteer it. And then Galen would roto out all the different, or and mask out all the different wires in the final shot. So I think it looks really good.
It does.
I didn't realize, you know, that it looked, you know, you could tell so easily that it was done on wires. You know, until a lot of people, oh, that looks so great. Did you do that on wires? And I was like, yeah, it looks good. That's how we did it. So it's just hung in front of a green screen.
That's cool. So. That's very cool.
Yeah, your behind the scenes was really, and you have another one as well. It's awesome. I always tell people they should always, you know, looking up tutorials, excuse me, but seeing behind the scenes, actually watching how you really do it is so helpful for you guys who want to know how do you do this, how do you do that. Watching you do it, you're so comfortable on camera and the way you talk, it's really obvious and it's really fun to watch. You're great to watch, and I love all the things that you show. It's so helpful. And
thank you. I'm glad I come across as comfortable on
you
camera.
Definitely
I nailed it. that's good to hear.
Maybe you can teach us a thing or two how to do that.
We gotta show our faces.
The takes you don't see are me, you know, doing those over and over again, recording those different lines and flubbing. But I love behind the scenes. Like I've always grown up watching the behind the scenes of movies and Brick films especially. You know, I'll go online. That's kind of how I taught myself, honestly, how to animate. It's just watching other people do it or post these videos. So they're super valuable to me, and it's always cool to see how other people are doing stuff and what tricks I can steal. Oh, we did that with that, and I can do that too. You know, those kinds of different things. So it's good to see the behind the scenes.
Definitely, yeah. It's one of the best ways to learn.
One of the things I learned from that behind the scenes was how you did a lot of your in camera laser shots with using the plastic transparent pieces with actually shooting a laser pointer at the piece to make it glow.
Yeah,
I was so inspired after that. I think I made a few test videos with the same technique, and it's just a really cool technique. I love anytime you can do anything in camera
and then
pull it off and make it look great. That I think is probably the most inspiring thing there is the brick-built laser shots and explosions, like when what happens to the droid. Not to spoil it too much, but that also inspired me on another video of when I had a rocket take off. I used those white dish like pieces to make the smoke clouds come out, and I thought it's always cool if you can figure out a way to just do it in camera without the special effects. That's really cool. Not to get Galen out of some work there, because his work definitely pieced together with your in camera effects, and between the two is a gorgeous Star Wars movie.
Yeah, you actually entered that into our BFG
film festival.
But that was the year that Sheep was entered, I think
it was.
Which is why you didn't win, because Sheep pretty much took everything.
I mean, and what a fantastic brick film that is, though. Oh, I mean, yes. that that deserved all the awards that it got. So
and see, that was like the painter, whereas that there was no dialogue, but when there's that much emotion and feeling, mm-hmm. and something that has no dialogue, that to me takes it a step above brilliant. And but of course, this one won Best Star Wars, you know. Mm-hmm.
Which Lando, I'm very thankful for. That was, I remember, you know, releasing Lando's deal, and, you know, I've lurked on all these Brick Film, you know, forums and different YouTube channels for, you know, decades. And so to finally post mine, I'm Googling, you know, all these different places I can post it and submit it so people can see it. And so it was great to enter your guys' contest and get recognized there. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, we appreciate it. Like I said, favorite Star Wars for sure. It was so brilliant in so many ways. And I'm also going to give credit, because on the behind the scenes, that's where you see your cat Nook helping out there. So
she's chasing the laser when I'm doing the laser thing. Yeah, she's I'm sure there's other animators who can relate, but you know, when you're animating with a cat in the house, they like to jump up on the table sometimes and mess with stuff. So I have to keep the door closed as much as possible. And I have a little can of compressed air that I got to spray her loose hairs away from whenever she comes into the room. So, but she's great. And then the laser effect there was what she was really interested in. So.
Another thing I noticed is the music worked really well. Was it? I think there was some real Star Wars John Williams music in there, but did you put any of your own stuff in there?
There is, yeah. So I think we talked about this a little bit when we met up, but I had used music that I had. I have some different royalty-free music packs or different websites that I use. And so I had purchased a bunch of tracks that I had used in Lando, and my goal was to make it just completely free of any licensed music and just make it completely, you know, so I could monetize it on my channel. And I got to that last scene, and I won't spoil it, but I there was no other track in my mind that I could use other than that John Williams Star Wars, this one track. And I spent weeks trying to get around it, trying to find different music that would work, excuse me, my voice. But anyways, I just couldn't get around it. And I think it sounds really good. So it's not monetized, obviously, because of that one track. But I think it doesn't matter. I think it really sells the moment, and it makes it feel a lot more Star Wars. So.
Well, I think you made the right decision there. Sure, you could have made a little revenue off it, maybe $50, maybe $200, right. But is it worth it to not
sacrifice? Yeah.
You know, it's a Star Wars video, so you know, just throw it in there and forget the money. Let's just make the best film we can.
Yeah, it really was perfect as is. So.
Yeah, it's hard to top John Williams when you're looking for free music online or music that you mm-hmm. can purchase. Like it just. Nothing compares. So I think, and especially at the state of my channel, or you know, back then, you know, I had not many subscribers, not many viewers, and it was just, you know, let me just make this for me, and let me just make it sound like the way I want it to, and I'll give Star Wars and Lucasfilm, and they can take their advertising money from this. That's totally fine with me. So,
and if you're gonna be known for a video for now. Lando's deal is a perfect video to be known for, so.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And I know you and Dave had a really fun Star Wars geeky chat when we met up with you.
Oh yeah, nothing like a good Star Wars chat between nerds.
Darn straight. Did you do all the builds yourself, or did you have some assistance on some of those builds, the Lego builds?
For Lando's deal, I did all the builds. I've got a pretty massive collection that I draw from, and a few years ago I took the time to go through and sort everything, so it's all fairly organized for the most part.
And how did you sort?
What's that?
How do you sort?
I sort everything by type, or by brick type or similar type. So you find things real quick. What's that?
You find your pieces real quick.
Yep. Yeah. It helps me, you know, move a little bit faster It's difficult though, because every project that I do, I end up with a really messy office and I have to go back and, you know, resort everything. So, but it just helps me find everything quickly.
And does your wife help you with any of the builds?
She helps me with sorting sometimes, but for the most part, I'm doing all the builds myself.
Cool.
Same with Dave. I don't even help with sorting. I'm bad.
So can
it's a lot to you know, you have lots of bricks and it's sorting takes a lot of time.
It is. Well, I mean, anybody that's doing stop motion animation has a lot of patience. That includes sorting and the whole thing from beginning to end. I don't have that quality, so it's not something I can do.
Well, I have a big box of unsorted stuff, so I guess I don't have patience either.
I do too. I still have every set that I buy or, you know, project that I do, I have like a giant like bin of all the stuff I was too lazy to go back and put where it belongs. So I can relate for sure.
You need to have a sorting party now that more people are coming to Atlanta, you know, have a sorting party, right?
I would love to do that. That would make it a lot more fun.
It totally.
Could be a little more fun. So did Lando's deal open up some doors with you at Lego?
It did, yeah. So Lando's deal came out, I think it was about a year ago at this point. And it came out right before Solo did. After that, I kind of, basically with Lando's deal, my goal was to make the best thing that I possibly could at the time, just go all out and use it as a way to get me some actual commissioned work. And so I ended up leaving that job last year, and I moved to Atlanta to start working in the film industry. And I had started pitching for different jobs, and a friend of mine got me in touch with Tongle, and we had pitched for another job through Tongle, and we used Lando's deal as kind of a, you know, my resume, essentially, my portfolio. And we didn't get that job, but I ended up pitching again for other things, and it helped me to get some Lego Star Wars work that was a lot of fun. So it's definitely served its purpose as far as what I wanted it to do for me commissioned work wise. So
so a couple of the commissioned ones for Star Wars that you did, it was a Death Star escape and the escape from Scarif. So
yes.
Those were not Tongle projects, is that correct?
No, they were. Okay. They were through Tongle, yes.
Okay, you got those through them. Cool, and this was, they were commissioned by Lego through Tongle for the 20th anniversary of Lego Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, those are always really fun to watch. Yes, those videos. Yeah. You do those, and I know Kevin Ulrich does a lot of those, and they're always so perfectly done and a lot of fun to watch.
Kevin is the master. I was the invading army for those jobs. So but I had a lot of fun. I mean, that was one of the dream jobs. You know, probably one of the most fun I've ever had animating was working on those, and just to be able to actually step up from doing something in your office just for fun, you know, for views on YouTube to doing it for actual work is just insane. So. Yeah, it was an amazing experience.
Is this your office in your home studio, or is where you did the stop motion for that? Is that correct?
Yep. Okay. Well, I did part of it at home. I have a fairly big office space at home that I have a big animation table, and for the most part, I do all my animating there. But I also work at a studio in North Atlanta that I was able to animate some of these shorts at. So for some of those shots where you see, you know, we've got in the behind the scenes video where that robot rig, that's the motion control rig, we did all of those shots at the studio.
Yeah, and we won't say the name, but you work at a really cool place, and you get to utilize so many of their awesome, their equipment and their rigs and things I've never even seen before.
Yeah, so. it's great to have access to that stuff. I started working there last year, and for the most part, they do motion control tabletop cinematography, and I started working with them and as a DP and an operator there. And my boss was really interested in my Lego stuff and said, you know, yeah, you know, you can use this stuff for your Lego shorts. And he's been real supportive of that. So it's, you can program different camera moves and step it in stop motion. And it's just, it's a really cool rig. So I used it on the Star Wars thing and also on the latest gig that I did.
Okay.
Yeah. It's neat to see that a lot of your, excuse me, your behind the scenes or, on your Instagram. We even have a picture of you on our website with that. So it's
nice.
It's cool to see all of that really neat stuff that you get to use and work with.
So were you just using the motion control rig to take pictures of your models, or were you actually tweaking the elements on the model to have stop motion within it?
So for the Star Wars gig, we used them to shoot the space scenes. So we set up the chroma screen, the green screen. Galen did the VFX for that as well, and we had the ship suspended above this turntable, and we were able to kind of fly the camera around it, around the ship, to give a sense of it kind of tilting and rolling in space. And so that was for the Star Wars one, but you can use stop motion in these as well. We actually... for the Star Wars one, I think we just filmed the plates themselves. We didn't actually do it stop motion. Those were just, we filmed those plates, I think, like 30 frames.
Okay.
Then Galen took all of that and built this amazing space battle with all the plates. So
cool.
Yeah.
So does Galen live here?
Galen, no, he lives in Canada. Pretty far away. So we chat and email and, we use Slack to kind of coordinate all of our different endeavors. So,
what was that you just said? You use what to coordinate?
We use this app called Slack. It's like a group messaging tool that you can use to coordinate, and you can upload files to it and everything. So we use that to, you know, talk about these different projects and just coordinate. He'll be sending me pictures and sending me files while he's working. So it's a really good tool.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that. Cool. I might have to check that out. Usually I use Dropbox, but sometimes I have a hard time with Dropbox. So that sounds like a good alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. One of the effects you used in, I think it was Death Star Escape, when they're running and the wall's moving behind them.
Yeah.
Did you do, go motion where you were actually moving the wall when you were taking a picture, or did you just move the wall and took a picture?
So for that shot, I had just built some tiles on the ground, and I had built the wall separately and then was just sliding the wall, you know, I think it was like half a stud at a time or a stud at a time, to make it look like it's scrolling past. Just a concept that I have had in my mind since the old Lego Studios set, where you would scroll that paper backdrop behind your set. I think it looked really good.
Have you ever tried Go Motion? Are you familiar with that?
I'm not, but what is it?
Well, when you take your picture, when you're like moving a wall in the background, actually move the wall while you take the picture, maybe on a long exposure, and it'll make the wall slightly blurry.
Interesting.
Yeah. Maxime Marion knows how to, he's the one that turned me on to that. After our podcast with him, I had to go and test some stuff out, and it uses the same technique of the walls moving, but you're actually moving the walls when you're taking the picture, which is not easy to do.
I see. That's fascinating. I need to look into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Check out, what's his, Epsilon? Studio Epsilon.
Epsilon.
Okay. He's the guy that did Sheep. It's his, he's really good at that. He turned me on to that technique, and it's really, really neat. And I would imagine with the motion control rigs, you could really get fancy with that.
Yeah. I know that there's a setting on the motion control rig. So what you do is you can build a camera move. And you, once it's programmed, it's like locked in. But you can do a setting where, you're moving the camera rig one frame at a time. But you can actually have it move and take a picture as well to add motion blur to it. Oh, cool. I haven't figured that out yet, but it's something that's possible. And but yeah, I'll have to look into the scale motion thing. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's really cool. Another cool thing is if you don't have enough set pieces, having a motion control rig, you can do one swipe or one shot with perhaps the items over on the right side, and then go back and do the same shot with the same camera positions for the left side, and then piece them together in post. And now you've got, say you had two vehicles or one vehicle, but you needed to have two in your shot.
Right. Yep.
So that's something else you can do with that. But
super useful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, I'm looking at his picture, and he's wearing that thing that we were talking about. It's also on his Instagram. What is that thing called?
Oh gosh, what do we call that? That's your your
the thing where you're like totally equipped with a camera. You're standalone or stand.
Oh, is it a Steadicam rig?
Steadicam, that's it.
Yep. Steadicam. Do you own one of those?
I own a smaller one called a Glidecam, but I haven't used it that much, actually. I used a Ronin at Lee when I was running around shooting events and different commercials for them. But no, I don't. It feels really cool when you're wearing them, though. You know, you look like you're about to go fight some aliens.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But it's funny. It's like we watched it yesterday, and it just happened to come up twice yesterday, and I'd never even seen one before, so... Now I'm looking at your picture on Skype, and you're wearing it there, and it's just one of those things.
Cool. So when we met the a couple months back, you mentioned you were working on a project, but you couldn't really talk about it much. Well, it's out now, so we can talk about it now.
Yep.
What's that project?
So immediately after the Star Wars gig ended, I got an email from one of the producers, and they said, "We've got this Lego Harry Potter gig that we'd love for you to pitch for," and I immediately said, yes, sign me up. And so I pitched for it, and they chose my concept. And it was a lot of fun. This was kind of like on a long train ride of many months of work that was these dream projects. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, huge Harry Potter fan. So it was like, this is just, all the things are coming all at once. But I did that, and it was for an ad for the new sets that they just came out. They sent me the sets early, and I got to work on that for a couple months, and the sets were releasing early at Barnes & Noble. So it was an ad for the Barnes & Noble, social media to kind of announce their release. So it was just a dream project. It was a lot of fun.
And a dream video. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
So the one of the behind the scenes shows you putting together the Barnes & Noble bookstore, front face of the bookstore.
Yeah, which was perfect. Yeah. I mean, it looks exactly like a Barnes & Noble store. It was gorgeous. Thank
you. Yeah, I can't take credit for fully designing that, but the concept was one of the things I pitched was a full brick built Barnes & Noble, and I love the modular buildings. I have a couple of them. And I was like, let's do that, but in Lego and in the size of a modular building. And they loved that, and the Barnes & Noble team was really excited about it. So just like with the VFX, how VFX is not my strong suit, I wanted to get someone who is a lot more talented than I at building mocks. I don't build that many mocks these days, so I was looking for someone who could really go in and make it look amazing. So I met this guy on Reddit, and his name is Derek Chapman, and he had posted a bookstore modular mock on the Lego subreddit, and it looked amazing. So I messaged him immediately, and I was like, "Hey, I'm working on this project, and I can't really tell you what it's about, but I'm can you sign this NDA, and we'll work together?" And he went into Set.io, and I had taken a bunch of pictures of my local Barnes & Noble and of all the different design elements I wanted to include. And we worked on that for a couple weeks, and it looked really good. I ordered all the parts off BrickLink and built it all myself in the span of took me like 4 days to build that thing. It was really cool. He did a great job with that.
Yeah. Well, really, I think I noticed was the letters, and I thought, my gosh, how did you get the letters so perfect?
Yeah, so I don't know if you've seen the Lego Pet Shop modular building where they have the letters Pet Shop spelled out. there's that the certain building technique where you have this the brick sideways, and that was something that I knew that I couldn't do myself because I'm not that great at building. And I told him, yeah, I really want to use that technique, but on a larger scale. And he just knew exactly how to do it and just went in and built it all in stud.io. And, just made it look really good. So the one thing that's not Lego that's on there is the and symbol it's a sticker in the center there. So, we could not figure out how to make the curves of the and the ampersand, look good in Lego, so we just decided let's just do a sticker. So
you can't tell though, and it looks so perfect. It was really impressive.
Did a great job matching the colors there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Obviously just the Harry Potter part. I mean, so it's like the whole, it's not just seeing the beautiful Barnes and Noble storefront, but then you have the whole Harry Potter story and the sets. And it was just beautifully done.
You look like you do a lot of animation on turntables. One of the things I think I noticed is you weren't just turning the table the top of the table or a little turntable. You had the table on a turntable. Does that sound right?
Yeah. So that was part of the rig that I have at that I work on the studio, and we have two separate rigs. We have a smaller rig, and you'll see the smaller rigs and the one we use for the Star Wars videos. But we have a larger one that. It's designed to shoot things like Vespas and refrigerators, and so you'll put whatever product you're shooting on the center and you'll have the camera fly around it. And so for the Harry Potter gig, I had these quick build time-lapse sequences where the camera is flying back as the set is quick building. And I wanted these big sweeping like camera moves, and I couldn't build the set out large enough on the smaller rig. So I put a table on top of the larger turntable and kind of secured it with sandbags, and then built this large set out so that you would see, as the camera flies back, you wouldn't see the end of a table or something.
Oh, cool. Those turntables, are they motorized or just you just have to move them around manually?
They're all motorized all programmed with the software, so I can move them in very tiny increments so that the camera moves are all very smooth.
Dave is drooling right now.
I'm drooling.
You'll have to come by. You're welcome to come by first.
We definitely want to do that for sure.
Those Lego build scenes, did you do those in reverse order or forward?
I did do those in reverse. Okay. Yes. Yeah, it was my first time shooting in reverse as well, so that was quite the learning experience.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect you were also really happy to see that I think the Harry Potter set or one of these new sets, the children's legs now can move.
Yes. They have the new medium legs, which are amazing.
Yeah, I need so to get some to... of those. That's awesome because I hate animating the little small legs and they just kind of like little people hopping around.
The hobbits.
Yeah.
I will say that the medium legs, just for this is like super nitpicky, but they're very interesting to animate. And I'm sure many people listening to this might have tried, but they're doing walk cycles with them. They're obviously shorter, and so the leg doesn't, if you're having them walk on studs, the leg, when it's extended backwards, doesn't clear the stud entirely. So you kind of have to have it somewhat raised off the stud. It's just these tiny little things, that when I'm working with them, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That'll be fun to to get around. Thankfully my walk cycles, the whole video is very short. So I had to make my walk cycles and all my animation kind of very snappy and quick. So, I'm interested in doing more animation with those medium legs because they're so useful.
Yeah. There's a lot of shots. Looks like you have some LEDs.
On the bus, it's beautifully lit.
I'm assuming the bus is lit that way. Yeah, I think it is because I saw Galen's behind the scenes that he posted a few days ago.
Yeah.
So you did a mixture of LEDs for practicals, but you kind of, I guess, did a little bit of effects in post too for at the beginning, there's a light underneath a light bulb that's very round looking. Was that an actual light, or did you just do that in post?
Oh, that was definitely Galen. Yeah, okay. I had all these LEDs for the lampposts they're just brick stuff LEDs, okay, you know, so everybody uses those, but yeah, and he added the kind of the cone of light coming down over Harry as he's on the road there. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when you just do a combination of the two, it definitely pops.
Yeah, pops for sure. There.
What about Hagrid's lantern? Because that was also beautiful, beautifully lit. I like that.
Thank you. Yeah, Hagrid's lantern, that was just a practical LED stuffed inside of that lantern.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it was just a really bright little brick stuff light coming out of the bottom, and Galen had to mask that that wire out.
Okay, I was wondering. I didn't see the wire. I was like, where's the wire? Come on, where's the wire?
Yep, Galen had a fun time masking that wire out. He told me we had to do that shot a couple times. I did that that one shot with Hagrid. I did another take of it, and he got tired of masking that wire out. But yeah, it looks really good. It's you can't even tell us that it's there's a wire or anything. He's great at that.
Yeah, and obviously we love brick stuff and love promoting them. So nice to hear when they're being used.
Another shot that stood out was that bus shot. And it's like I was trying to like, is this stop motion or is this digital? And I got my answer a little while ago when I saw Galen's effects breakdown. I guess the actual bus is the Lego. Everything else is digital.
Yes.
And he did a real great job of that.
He worked for weeks on that shot. He put a lot of effort into that. And we were talking about that early on because we wanted to have this shot of, you know, we were watching the movie and looking at the clips back over and over again. And I wanted to have this shot of it speeding through London. And, you know, when you build out a set physically, you know, you're limited by, oh, how many buildings do you have? How many cars? You've got to build it all out. And it was just going to be easiest to build out everything in CG. And so he rendered it all out, and I shot the plate of the bus, and yeah, everything else is completely CG. So it was a lot of work, but I think it looks great.
Yeah definitely. When you're watching it and you can't tell what it is, then that's really... Some fantastic work.
You did some of the scenes. I think the one of Hagrid's lantern scene, that was done with a woods background, I believe.
Yeah.
And a few of the other scenes, you were using either a blue or a green screen. Did you have any? Do you like doing it one way or the other, or do you have any preferences as to how to perform your backgrounds?
Well, I've always been drawn to, you know, doing everything physically, and it sometimes can shoot me in the foot, but I love, you know, these massive Lego sets and backgrounds that are all, you know, you can tell that it's Lego. You know, part of the fun of all of these Lego shorts is, you know, seeing these massive sets, but everything in that shot is Lego. And I don't have anything against those who use green screen. I think there's definitely, you know, people like Galen who build these massive backgrounds that look amazing, and they going that route, you know, you can do things that I could never build, you know, and I could never build out. But for some of those, you know, like the forest background was physical, the London suburb at the very opening is physical, and then a lot of the elements in the other shots are all built out digitally. So, I like to do it physically whenever possible, but I know that sometimes it's like there's a time crunch or, you know, either I've spent all of my set budget that I've allotted to myself on all the bricks that I can afford, and I'll say, well, we need to do this digitally. Whenever possible, I'll always try to do it physically. But I've seen a lot of the stuff that, you know, people like Kevin and you know, Christopher Gearhart, Brick Spots of Life, like some of the backgrounds that they're able to build with VFX, it's just there was no way that I could ever build something like that, you know, as a physical set. So when the time is right, I think you just got to use whatever's right for the shot and whatever mm-hmm. you can pull off with what you have.
Definitely. And when you're working with people like that, it's nice that you have both options. So
exactly.
We've kind of gone through a lot of your Lego stuff. Oh, there's a sort of few side projects like your Lego Voltron, which was looks like it was just a turntable with some fancy lighting. Although
yep,
it was, for not having any animation besides changing the lights and moving it around on a turntable, it did have some energy to it. You did a Pokemon. Like character or something like that, and I thought that the lighting was really cool. Was that done in the your work office studios?
Yep, yeah, those were both stuff that we shot at the studio, and we did those as tests, just for doing different lighting and the Lego Voltron thing. We had a group of us had pitched for a Lego Voltron project, and we didn't get it. And so we wanted to still do something with Lego Voltron, and a friend of mine had the set, and so he brought it in and we shot it one day and just wanted to make it look like a cool, 80s style retro commercial. And just as a fun kind of test, basically. That's on my Instagram, I believe.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff there. What was I going to say here? The lighting in the studio that you do these tests with, can you tell us a little bit about the lighting? What's it controlled with? What type of lights and how you make the colors?
Yeah. We use different Fresnels. We have a whole different lighting kit in the studio than what I have at home. But we use LEDs. We have some LED panels. We have some different small LEDs. But for the most part, we're bouncing light off of different like big white poster boards to hit the products or hit whatever we're shooting. And it's fairly simple, nothing too complicated, but we use I'm trying to think of the brand. I'm not sure of the brand, but the lights that we use at the studio are it's kind of a whole different assortment of different lights. There's a lighting rental company in the studio that we get all of our lights from called CineLease, and they're one of the biggest like rental companies in Atlanta, and so they're kind enough to let us use their lights and help us out with that, so we have access to a lot of different equipment there.
That's really nice.
Cool. What kind of lighting do you use at home?
At home, it's a whole other story. So I have my lights at home that I own, and I have three now. I have three Aputure HRN 672 panels, LED panels, and you can dial in, the power and the color temperature and everything on that. And then I have a couple small little lights that I've bought that are like literally like $25 lights off Amazon. They're these little tiny LEDs. They're about the size of, a little bit bigger than a dollar bill. But I have those, and I pretty much just use those for all of my lighting, and I'll bounce it or, position them differently. I have these little clamps that clamp onto the side of my table, and I'll mount the lights and everything, so that's what I use.
And you have some Brick Stuff lights also?
I do, yeah. I've spent a lot of money on Brick Stuff lights, and I still feel like I never have enough.
Oh, you definitely don't have enough of those. Do you have the dimmer?
I do, yeah, and I need to, get some more of the different strips. I recently bought some of the different strip lighting, and I need to get some more. They know they've got some other pieces they sell too that are like the lamppost that comes with the RD in there, and so I'm always looking at those and seeing what I need to buy.
Cool. You at one point made some animation. I think it was stop motion of a hammer, a C wrench, and a screwdriver.
That was a couple years ago. I had a friend of mine who was directing some commercials for this company called Leader Labs, and there was another group that we did a promotion for, but those are a couple commercials. We were all paper crafts, and we had the camera mounted pointed down at a table, and we had different tools flying around, and that was, I think it was 2 years ago. I'm not sure, but that was a good friend of mine who works in the film industry and does a lot of commercial work. And we wanted to do something animated, and we couldn't do Legos for it, so we decided to do that.
And the way you had your camera mounted, it looked like it was between two sort of, not C-stands, but kind of little stands with a bar going between. Did you have a special mount to mount your camera onto that, or...?
Nothing special. It's all very homegrown DIY. Okay. Okay, we just had two light stands, and then I had a cheap slider that I got. I think it was like a, you know, maybe $100 slider that the camera was pointed. It was mounted on, and it was pointed down. And yeah, it was just stretched over a table, and yeah, that's what worked. So.
Okay, so basically, it was the slider mount that made it kind of easier to do.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I've had to like. I was doing some, you know, down shots where I put it on a tripod, but then a camera tripod. Then I had to like put it in a chair and then weigh it on. It was an ugly mess. It got the shot done, but it was a bit of an ugly mess.
It definitely made me nervous because, you know, down shooting, you know, you're putting your camera up there and one person knocks it. You know, you got to make sure it's secure so it doesn't fall over and all that. But
I also want to mention your. Lego Hogwarts quick build video. I think that was on Instagram because that was really
cool.
Quick builds are always fun to watch because building anything is never quick. So it's kind of cool to see something of that magnitude come together quickly. I think a lot of people, especially like commission people, they don't realize how long it takes to build set. So that takes up the majority a lot of times of a lot of the things that you have to do.
Yeah,
so it's neat to see the quick builds. I enjoy those.
That one, I didn't plan on it it helping me, but I had shot that as a test, and I ended up getting the call to pitch for that Harry Potter thing. I said, well, this is perfect. I just shot this Harry Potter quick build, so it worked out perfectly to use that to show them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can we go into some live action because your live action work. Wow. You write incredible stories, and I guess you were lucky enough to work with some amazing actors. Is it
Kyle?
Yes, yeah,
he
Kyle.
He was in a couple of them. He was wonderful.
He's fantastic. In fact, we watched all of your Brick films yesterday, but Dave found a couple of these live-action things this morning. So I watched Typecast this morning, and luckily with my cold, they didn't realize it. It made me cry. It was so good.
Thank you. Yeah, Kyle is so talented. He is so good. He and I have known each other for a long time now, and he lives in Atlanta now too. He's an actor, and we've made a couple things together. Typecast is definitely the largest. That was the short film that I made. Back in 2017, I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
That was what started as a short project. We just, you know, a couple people, friends who wanted to make a short over a weekend, and then turned into a much larger. Let's take several weeks to make this. So, it was a lot of fun.
And did you actually do the camera work on that, or were you just the director and the writer?
I wrote and directed that one. That Typecast was shot by my friend John Paul. So
okay. Was that
was
a different?
That.
Was that kind of an interesting scenario? Because I'm sure you're used to probably doing a lot of the camera work. Was it kind of an odd situation directing someone to do camera work?
Not necessarily. I'm lucky enough to like be friends with a lot of really talented people. So I try as much as possible to put the trust in them, and you know they know what they're doing, and when I'm directing, I know what I want, and usually by then we've talked about what each shot is going to look like, and so you know it's a collaborative effort, and you know you're working with a crew, and I think he did fine.
Okay.
I think you know I always tell people though. You know, when I go back to animating, you know, after doing like a commercial or, you know, directing a short or something like that, it's always different because I'm literally controlling every single element. And I usually do it all myself from like the set building to, you know, all the actors. I'm literally, you know, dialing in every single movement. And it's different when you go to a set and there's another person there and you have to, you know, you need to explain what you want. And it's completely different. So it's a whole other world for sure.
Yeah, I know. As a brick filmer, yeah, I don't have to delegate too much to other folks. It's pretty much me doing most of the stuff myself. And I imagine going from a brick film to a real production is definitely a different scenario. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, to me, that was just perfect. The story was amazing. The acting was just beyond fantastic, and I just loved it so much.
The other one that stood out was Cycle. I believe you had Kyle in
Kyle
that
again,
also.
Yeah, that one's on my YouTube channel still, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah. I found it on Vimeo, but it might be on your YouTube. I really enjoyed that one. And those were, I think, the two main ones I think that you were really had a heavy finger in. Are heavy handed, but you've also worked on some other productions. I believe something had yet to be released, Christmas in July.
Yep. Yeah, that was a film that I worked on. I'm, you know, lucky enough to kind of be connected to a lot of, like, at Lee, when I was working there, you know, all the people that I was working with were filmmakers and really talented people. So I got to work on a lot of different sets and variety of different roles. You know, for Christmas in July, I was a second unit director on that. It was a feature film. It's not yet to be released yet, but that was a really good experience there. And I worked on a few different commercials and short films, last year, before I came to Atlanta, I DP'd a feature-length documentary as well. So I've done a lot of different roles and different things over the years. It's been a lot of fun.
Cool. You had mentioned you were a second unit director. What is a second unit director?
A second unit director basically is the person who takes a small crew out and you shoot B-roll or other scenes while the main unit is shooting the important scenes. So you just go out and shoot other things while the main crew is working.
Oh, cool.
It's fun to be involved no matter how you're involved, and that just sounds
really
exciting. Let's go to the Instagram. And seriously, your Instagram, so many things have come from there. I've got the porgs on the bed with your Nook, your cat. That was so adorable.
Yeah, that was fun. That was with the AR thing that Star Wars released. That was a lot of fun.
Shame your cat couldn't see him either, but
it
might
good,
be too disturbing.
Good to know there was that Nook and the porgs were not harmed during the making
yes,
of that
yeah,
cute
no,
little
no
video.
No porgs were harmed in the making of that Instagram video.
But it was adorable, though. Really, really cute.
Nice.
I got a couple of little rabbit hole items I want to go
down
here.
Okay.
No,
and then we'll go back
yeah,
to who he's. No,
like
David and Chris.
What is the Omni by GoPro? It looked like a six-sided camera.
Oh yeah. That's a really cool piece of camera tech. We had, you know, all this different gear that we had at the university when I was working there, and the Omni was this 360-degree camera, and you could make VR videos in 360. I don't think they're as popular nowadays, but we would do certain events or videos where you could take this camera and it would, you know, it's a 360 video, so you'd shoot in all different directions, and then you could take your phone and, you know, rotate it and look all around you. So that was just a cool camera, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
It looked really neat.
I geek out on neat tech stuff. So
yeah, I post. If you see my Instagram, I post tons of pictures of cameras. Like I'm a tech geek as well, so I'm always posting, you know, those kinds of pictures.
And we always like to get in, you know, have you met any other brick filmers? And we know you have met David Pagano, who we also got to meet. So
yeah,
tell us about
that
experience.
He's incredible. It was awesome to meet him. I was doing a training event in New York for the job that I have now at the studio. And I realized, oh yeah, I remember somewhere that David Pagano is in New York too. And so I just on a whim emailed him and said, you know, hey man, you know, I love your work. You know, do you want to get together? And he was kind enough to grab some coffee with me, and we were able to just have a good conversation. So he's a really great guy.
Agreed. Very talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
And you also just recently met someone else too, correct?
Christopher Gearhart, who we also had on a podcast.
Yep. Another really talented brick filmer. and a really nice guy. He just moved to Atlanta, so I had heard that he was moving to Atlanta, and I told him, you know, oh, we need to get together and hang out. So we've hung out a few times. We just recently went to the Atlanta Brick Co. Store together, the Lego store.
Down the Noonan?
And, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah, well, I would like to.
Jason wanted to go there, but it's kind of far for us, but
about a 50-mile drive.
It seems like it's yeah. pretty cool there, though.
It's a great place to go. I highly recommend it. It's about 30 minutes south of me. It's in Noonan, Georgia. It's like the largest or one of the largest privately owned Lego stores in the world, I think. So it's a really cool place. Lots of old Lego, lots of sets and minifigures. So very cool.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, maybe we'll check it out one day.
And we hope to get to meet Christopher in person too.
Right, so maybe we'll meet up with him.
Meet
also.
Both of y'all.
And we definitely want to meet you again too.
See you again.
That'd be great. We need to have a Atlanta Brick Filmers party or something.
For sure.
I know, it's nice that people are finally, you know, coming here. That's great.
Maybe we get Ryle Force to come up from what, middle Georgia, and Dude Brick from Alabama, and we're set.
There we go.
Did you do something with the Austin Film Fest, or just attend it, or anything?
I just attended that. That was with some of the filmmakers at Lee as well. We were going because who was it? It was one of the professors had a film that was screening at the Austin Film Festival, and he invited us to go with him. And so it was a really cool experience. That's the biggest film festival that I've been to, and it's very much focused on writing and the writers. So if there are any writers out there listening, like, just try and get to this festival. It was so cool. I got to I met the writer of the last Blade Runner movie. Randomly got to talk to him about the movie, and went to a lot of different panels with some people who have written. So I got to meet the writer who did Arrival, Amy Adams is her name, but that was a really cool panel. So very cool experience, definitely like inspiring, and you know, as a filmmaker, just to hear from all these, you know, very established people doing this, you know, it's very inspiring. So.
Was that at like the convention center or University of Texas or?
It was in Austin at some hotel or hotel? Convention center there.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with the area,
okay.
But yeah, we just stayed in an Airbnb and walked to the convention or the hotel where it was at.
And based on when of the year it happened, did you see the bats?
Going to ask that.
Oh,
I
took your question.
You did.
Did I see the bats?
The bats from the, there's a bridge in Austin where like millions of bats live in it.
Oh, wow. No,
and at night, they all come out to eat mosquitoes. And
it's
amazing. Really cool.
We did see some flying around, but I didn't know that there was a bat bridge.
Oh yeah, the way they built the bridge, it's like the perfect little nook for bats to go in there and breed and stuff. But they come out at night. You just don't want to stand below them when they're all coming out at once.
They
drop their load. Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty gross, but it's neat. You want to be on top of the bridge watching it, not below.
But it's really an amazing sight to see.
Yeah, Austin's a lot of fun. I need to go back and look out for this bat bridge now.
I think it's closer to like August, September area time.
Okay.
Is when they're around, but it's definitely worth seeing if you're back in
Austin.
Yeah,
Austin's a beautiful city anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very hipster, lots of young people. It's very cool.
I think I saw a picture of a drone maybe on your Instagram. Do you own a drone?
I don't, but I have a lot of experience with drones. A buddy of mine back in Tennessee is a pilot, and he does a lot of aerial videography and photography. And he took me along and taught me how to fly his drones, and I would be his co-pilot. So yeah, you have one person flying the drone, and then you have another person flying the camera or controlling the camera. And so the two of us would be doing different shots or different events, stuff like that. So I've always been fascinated by drones, though. I think they're awesome. So I would always take pictures of his drone and geek out about it. But my brother has a racing drone and does the FPV kind of thing and builds his own drone. So that's that's another thing that I think is really cool. I've never gotten one myself, but I'm tempted to for sure.
Did you get to fly the drone at all, or just operate the camera?
I would fly it sometimes. He would, for the most part, be flying it while I would operate the camera, but he would let me fly it sometimes, or you know, he would need to step away, and so I'd take control. So, but for the most part, I was just his co-pilot.
Well, that's really cool. I remember a long time ago, I might have gotten to fly one of the old remote control planes, but that's not like a helicopter like the drones. So, it was kind of nerve-wracking flying that around. I didn't get to take off or land or anything like that, but. My dad and my brother were into that for a while.
Nice. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I used to love, like, the RC cars and RC planes, like that kind of thing. So I had an old Lego RC car that I used to love as well. But drones now, it's so restrictive. Like, you can barely fly anywhere. So I think a lot of the hobbyists are dying off. It's sad to see. But all the people who do it professionally have to get, you know, licenses and,
probably for the best.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the hobbyist, it's probably for the best safety-wise.
Yeah, for sure.
I actually owned a radio control airplane a long time ago. Can't say I really got the hang of flying it too good, but I never crashed it, so
that's
pretty impressive.
Yeah, my dad actually flew the ones where you had the string with the plane and you go around in circles.
Oh, cool.
This is probably from the 1950s and 60s, but...
Yeah, wave it around you as it flies. Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
I know you wanted to ask about that.
I noticed you were playing one of your. We're going in crazy rabbit holes here, but you were playing like a Star Wars board game. What's that like? I'm into board games, but is it pretty intense? Kind of a war game where it's like so many rules, it's hard to get into, or is it something easy to do?
I would say it's probably closer to the former. it's a game that I play with my friend called Star Wars Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And for Star Wars fans, it's incredible. So if you love Star Wars, I would try it. I think it's a lot of fun. But it's kind of like Risk, and it's just a really fun board game. So I if you know someone who has it, I would try it. But
okay.
When me and my friend play, it's usually like a 4 hour, intensive time commitment that, but it's always fun. It's always a long, epic battle between the Rebels and the Empire.
Well, that sounds fun. I have trouble getting people to play Catan with me around the house here, so I don't think
You got to come play with us. We've been getting the Catan.
Catan is awesome. I've been playing
it
for many years.
We played recently. Our son came to visit a couple of weeks ago, so we all played.
Who won?
I won!
Nice.
Another photo on your Instagram that just stood out is you zombie makeup, something about a road race.
Oh yeah, that was a while back. That was for the church that we were going to in Cleveland, Tennessee. That one of their like annual things they would do. They did a charity zombie 5K, and so me and my wife participated in plenty of the different races, and I did the video for one of them. The concept is you run a 5K, but there are zombies, and you wear flags. And if you lose your flags, or if the zombies grab your flags, then you lose or you're dead. And so it's a really fun thing for charity. And one of those years, I got dressed up as a zombie and chased people around. And it was a lot of fun.
That sounds fun.
Yeah,
it's not just costuming. It's interactive. You're running from zombies.
There was a whole lot of strategy to it. Where they would put health packs around the course, so if you lose a life or lose a flag, you could regenerate, or grab a health pack and slap it on, so as another flag. But it was a lot of fun. I that was definitely one of my favorite memories from living there.
So I know we're getting close to the end, but curious, when you're animating, do you listen to any music or podcast, TV?
I do. So for the Star Wars gigs, I actually listened to all of the BFG podcast. That was my thing to listen to. I had gone through and like had a lot of them that I hadn't listened to. So I'd just gone through and listened to all of these. And then, usually I'll listen to music. I just have a playlist that I or a Pandora station that I pull up and I'll listen to. I've tried TV, but it doesn't really work for me right now. I don't know. I need to try some different things, but I think I'm going to start doing audiobooks as well, just to mix it up for the next project.
And are you working on anything at the moment that you can talk about?
I am. So the Harry Potter job just ended. I currently don't have anything, any other commission work kind of on my horizons right now. So I've got a couple of short films and different stuff on my YouTube channel that I want to put some time into. I've got a superhero short that I've been working on for years that I need to finish and a couple other short ideas that I just want to use for practice for other things. So stay tuned. Maybe you'll see something in the next couple weeks come up.
Well, commission projects are fun and all, but I love the truly artistic ones where it's just everything out of your own head, how you want to do it.
Yep. Yeah.
Those are the stuff I really like to see.
Yeah,
I love
you're
the
such
commission
a great
stuff,
writer but... and talented brick filmer and live action, so it's really fun seeing your own stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, it's I love, honestly, working for Lego and like doing the commission work. I would be happy doing that 100% of the time, but it's really fun to just have complete freedom, and you know, you don't have to, you know, you're not working with anybody else. It's just you and your whatever crew you have, just making whatever you like. You know, so it's good to have complete creative control over something and, you know, just make it the way that you want to. So, but, you know, that being said, if Lego comes back to me tomorrow and they say, hey, we've got this gig, I'll say, well, yep, I'll do that instead, you know.
Definitely.
So it's I'm always waiting to see what's going to come next. So it's kind of the life of a freelance animator.
And also we want to let everybody know your YouTube channel is Ant Bandit.
Yes.
And how did
yes.
you come up with that name?
I cannot take any credit for that. So I've always loved like the goofy production company names. You know, you got like Bad Robot or Bad Hat Harry. You know, these just they're meaningless. These meaningless names. And when I was coming out with I think it was the Injustice video, I didn't really have a name for my channel and I didn't have a branding for it. So I wanted to come up with something that was silly and unique and just, you know, something that I could use. And I mulled up on a name for weeks and weeks. But then I finally asked my friend's wife, April, I was like, you know, just come up with two random words. And she said, Ant Bandit. And I said, that's great. Let's use that. And then I drew the little logo and I said, yep, this will work. I like the logo and it'll be fun. It doesn't really mean anything. It's just, you know, a fun channel name, I think.
It is, and it's easy to remember and easy to say. Yep. So
something I like that I you know, for me, I like the when channels have branding across all their stuff. So to have a logo and a name is enough for me. You know, something that people can remember and find me.
Like the Four Monkeys.
Just like the Four Monkeys. Everybody knows the Four Monkeys.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I mean, I guess we've taken up enough of your time. You're so interesting to talk to. You have so many cool things you've done. We're hoping, you know, we'd love to come see you at your studio.
Yeah. You guys are welcome to come by anytime, or if you want to come by and visit our apartment and see, you know, my Lego room, you know, you're welcome to come by.
Definitely would love to do that. We look forward to seeing all of your new projects and everything you create. And I wish you all the best. Hope you get a lot more commission work. And
thank you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I'm hoping more comes down the pipe soon. I'm sure by the time this podcast is out, I'll be working on something. So,
well, we look forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, have a great week ahead. And again, we look forward to seeing everything that you come out with. You're very talented. So we loved meeting you and loved having you on our podcast here and look forward to everything you do.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks again, Adam. You take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much to Adam for spending time with us, and thanks to everyone who stuck with us through this entire podcast. Please check out our sponsors and partners on the Brick Filmers Guild homepage, and don't forget to check out Adam's amazing brick films on his YouTube channel. We want to give a huge thank you to our Patreon supporters, Spugastew, Something's Awry Productions, Frame 5 Studios, Mind Game Studios, Dark Dragon Films, Forest Fire 101, Sanjira, Spencer Katz, and Paganimation. You guys really inspire us to keep creating more of these in-depth conversations with the world's great brick filmers. If you would like to sponsor one of our podcasts, please contact me through one of our social media sites. The sponsors we have are always brick film related and are products that we use ourselves and highly recommend. We would like to thank Kevin MacLeod for his wonderful music, which we use for our podcasts and in our brick films. If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, please rate and comment. We'd really appreciate that. So, until next time, bye y'all.